What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to go through one of two studies I found super duper interesting this month. They both have to do with activity levels and health outcomes and obesity rates on a population level. Very interesting stuff. Essentially, like, how important is movement? How much should we move? Where should we place our emphasis from a public health perspective? So I find these two studies intricately linked and both very, very interesting, very cool data. And so I'm just looking forward to sharing with you today. I'm going to go through the first study today, and then we'll do the second study in a second episode out next week, and I'll link it back to this one. But I was going to try and do them both in one episode, but it's just a lot. And I think this first study is, as I was making notes for it, and so you'll hear me kind of bopping around, I made some notes just to keep myself on track here. There was plenty to talk about with just this study. And so we'll do the second in another episode here. So the first study is titled Energy Expenditure and Obesity Across the Economic Spectrum. Essentially, they are looking at different populations and different lifestyles, again, across the economic spectrum. So from less developed nations and lifestyles all the way up to, you know, things like hunter-gatherers to farmers to foragers to office workers in very developed nations. And they're looking at, you know, what are the obesity rates as the level of development increases across the economic spectrum? And what does the energy expenditure look like? Are people burning more calories as countries get more developed? And things like hunter-gatherers burn way more calories and office workers burn way less calories. What does that look like? They looked at over 4,000 adults from ages 18 to 60 across 34 populations on six continents, representing lifestyles from hunter-gatherers to farmers, all the way up to office workers in industrialized societies. Remember, they're looking at rates of obesity across these populations and how many calories people burn. And so, of course, they tracked energy expenditure and they broke that down into resting energy expenditure and they called it activity energy expenditure. So basically, you know, people are burning X amount of total calories per day. How many calories are coming from activity that they're doing and how many of those calories are coming from just energy used at rest? They also tracked, of course, obesity metrics, and then they stratified these populations using something called the UN Human Development Index, or HDI, which is just a proxy for level of economic development. Now, you'll see why this, I'm going to make a quick note here. You'll see why it's relevant in a second. They didn't measure the amount of activity that these people did, right? So it wasn't like, oh, hunter-gatherers get this many steps and, you know, office workers get this many steps. So what they measured was hunter-gatherers burn this many calories through the movement that they do. And, you know, office workers burn this many calories through the movement that they do. Now, we have other research that would support the idea that as nations become more developed, people do less activity on average, right? If you're looking at a hunter-gatherer tribe, your assumption would be that they move more than office workers in more developed nations. They did not try and measure or quantify the actual activity. What they were doing was looking at the energy burned, the calories burned through the activity. But again, the assumption is that as nations become more developed, people do less activity. Again, we become lazier. You know, we have things like cars and public transportation and we don't walk as much and we don't have to exercise as much, which again, makes sense. So I'm going to go through the four key findings. And if you kind of hear me say it and you're like, well, I don't really know what that means, I promise I will break them down individually in just a second. Key finding number one, total energy expenditure is higher in more developed nations. We'll talk about that one in a sec. We'll talk about all these in a second. Number two, once adjusted for age, sex, and body size, energy expenditure and resting energy expenditure both decrease by 6 to 11% with increasing development. So as nations or populations become more developed. Key finding number three, activity energy expenditure. So the amount of calories people burn through activity only accounts for 10% of the differences in obesity rates. We're going to double click on all these, but that one is a wild statistic. And number four is that the estimated caloric intakes, especially from ultra-processed foods, correlates much more strongly with body fat and BMI, right? In the populations that provided dietary data, a higher ultra-processed food share, meaning a higher percentage of the diet coming from ultra-processed foods, predicted greater adiposity or correlated much more with people, you know, having more body fat, higher BMI, et cetera. So let's take a deeper dive into some of those because some of them are counterintuitive and some of them are a bit of a head scratcher, and we'll see if we can break them down. The first one is that total energy expenditure is higher. And before we go into this, I want you to imagine that I'm going to use an extreme example here to make a point. But of course, they measured, like they said, 34 populations across the economic spectrum. But I want you to pick 2 points in your mind for us to talk about here. I want to talk about hunter-gatherers, and we can use hunter-gatherer as kind of a proxy for people in very underdeveloped places who, again, are still doing, you know, hunter-gatherer practices, like the Hadza in Tanzania, for example, where they're probably moving a ton. And on the top end of the economic spectrum, think of like an office worker in New York City, or New York City might even be bad because people walk a lot, but like a sedentary office worker, let's say, in a very developed population. And I want you to use those two because, you know, when you can, when we polarize it like that, we use an extreme example, it will make, it really make you think. And so I'm going to reference that comparison kind of as we go. Of course, this study did not just compare those two populations. This was many populations to try and see more of a curve across the economic spectrum. But I'd like to pick those 2 points as a way of just having that comparison really make you think. So total energy expenditure is higher in wealthier populations. So what that's saying is that on average, office workers in, you know, industrial developed nations burn more calories than hunter-gatherers. Now, why is that? That should sound crazy to you. There's a very simple answer, is that we are bigger. We in developed nations are fatter and bigger. And so total energy expenditure is higher in larger people, even if we move less, right? So, you know, we don't need to go through statistics on obesity in this country, but on average, we're much larger than people in less developed nations, taller, fatter, larger, whatever. And so we burn more calories. That's not really relevant for the rest of this discussion. That's not even like a super interesting finding. It's just like a, yeah, okay, duh, we burn more calories. Even if we move less, we burn more because we're larger. However, once adjusted for things like age, sex, and body size, and what that means, by the way, adjusted for age, sex, and body size, it means if you imagine yourself, let's say you're in a developed country listening to this, if we take you and we just take a clone of you and put you in a, let's say the Hadza, I'm going to use the Hadza. The Hadza are a hunter-gatherer tribe in Tanzania that we've studied quite a bit. And we just take a clone of you and we put you in the Hadza tribe. What we see is that total energy expenditure and resting energy expenditure decrease by somewhere between 6 to 11% as with increasing development. So you in a developed nation might burn 10% less calories, right? Now, here's one of the most interesting findings, is that exercise energy expenditure, so the amount of calories, listen to me carefully, the amount of calories that we burn in developed nations is stable or slightly higher than lower developed nations. Again, the presumption is that we move less than people in lesser developed populations and living lifestyles like the hunter-gatherers. However, activity energy expenditure remains stable or slightly higher in developed nations. How is that possible? I promise we'll get there. Now, there's two things to break down here. Again, total energy expenditure decreased mostly from a reduction in resting energy expenditure, so not the movement side. I just told you the movement side actually went up. But resting energy expenditure is actually going down in developed nations. And that's probably due to about four things, which is fewer infections and better medicine. In developed nations, we have fewer infections and better medicine, which means your body is spending less calories on immune system responses. Again, an underrated calorie reduction. We also have lower NEAT, which, you know, the researchers themselves said that there's probably some movement, like just like moving around the house or like non-activity that isn't picked up by their metrics here. And so we probably on average move a little bit less from a convenience, right? Lower NEAT due to convenience, right? We have just so many conveniences in our day-to-day that we don't need to get up and move as much. Also, we have less muscle mass on average, and then also due to climate control. So less energy spent regulating our body temperature because we live for the most part in developed nations in a climate-controlled environment. The second thing to break down, again, is that energy expenditure from, so the calories burned from activity is either stable or slightly higher in developed populations. This is a big one. Listen, as nations got more developed, you would assume that they get lazier, they move less, and they burn less calories. But that is not what we see. It's the same or more. And I'm going to use, again, I'm saying this, not the study, and I'm not even saying it as fact. I'm saying it more as a heuristic, an example, a way of thinking about this, that that an office worker in a developed nation burns more calories from activity than a hunter-gatherer. And again, the presumption is that they move less. So they're moving less and burning more than somebody who is a hunter-gatherer. How is that possible and what does it mean? All right? So let's talk about how is it possible. It's possible by two reasons. One is we actually move more than we think, right? So this idea that developed nations, people move a whole lot less, it's possible that we have that, not wrong, but it's not as much of a decrease in movement that, as we think. And the researchers said, when you get to really highly developed populations, what we see is that people go to the gym a lot. And so while we don't have as much, you know, you're not living life like a hunter-gatherer where you're moving for hours per day, but you might have, you know, an hour in the gym per day. And that actually might matter. And that might actually bridge the gap in energy expenditure a little bit more, or at least more than we think. The second way that this is possible is something called energy compensation, or I wrote here in my notes that energy compensation is real, right? And so we'll go through these two in a sec here. Let's start with this idea that we're actually moving more than we think. We're not. And I'm going to use America, United States as an example. The average step count in the United States is 3,000 to 4,000 steps per day. Like even if you're also going to the gym, the Hadza get like 15 to 20,000 steps on average. It's unlikely that we are burning so many calories in our gym session in a developed nation like America that it's bridging that gap, right? We go to the gym more than the Hadza for sure. But when I tell you that we burn just as many calories from activity as hunter-gatherers, it's not because we actually secretly move just as much. That is not the case. We move less. So there's only one way that this is possible. And it's that there's some sort of energy compensation happening. I'll explain that. As I was making notes for this, I'm realizing that what I should probably do when we're all said and done here is do a podcast on what's called the constrained energy model, which has been popularized by Dr. Herman Ponsler. Ironically, we've been talking about the Hadza from Tanzania. Herman Ponsler basically studied energy expenditure in the Hadza, and I won't just essentially proved or showed some of the stuff that we're going to talk about here. Essentially, if we're going to just talk about what energy compensation is or explain the constrained energy model, what happens is you start moving more and you start burning more calories to a point. But as you start to move more and more and more and more, your body starts to compensate, starts to save energy elsewhere, right? You increase movement efficiency. So the, you know, let's say you walk 10,000 steps, right? And you walk the same exact route every day at the same exact pace. Well, over time, you're going to get better at walking such that it actually takes you less energy. So you become more efficient at certain movements and you actually burn less calories at them over time. We see a reduction in spontaneous movement. So as you increase your movement more and more and more and more, your body will decrease subconscious movement as a way of saving energy. We'll talk about why it might do that in a sec. We also see a reduction in immune system function, a reduction in reproductive function, lower hormones like thyroid hormone that can regulate energy expenditure, things like decreased gut activity. All of this stuff is meant to save energy, right? So even if you're doing more exercise, and this is a quote from the paper to some degree, even if you're doing more exercise, your total daily energy expenditure increases modestly, or in some cases, barely at all. And I don't want to, I promise, I'm not trying to be like nihilistic, pessimistic of like, moving more doesn't matter at all. I promise. I'll get to some of my take homes on that front in a bit here. But the truth is your body adapts to rising activity by cutting energy elsewhere, not by endlessly burning more linearly. There is a diminishing return to more and more and more and more activity, right? Like let's say 5,000 steps burns 250 calories. I'm making that up. 5,000 steps walk, right? What is that? 2 miles, something like that. If you're getting 0 steps per day and you go from 0 to 5,000, you might burn 250 calories doing that. But going from 5,000 to 10,000, maybe it's only 200 more. And 10,000 to 15,000, maybe it's only 150 more. And 15,000 to 20,000, maybe it's only 100 calories more, right? That makes sense. The more you move, you don't burn more calories linearly. It's nonlinear. It's diminishing in return, right? So quickly, does that mean that moving more is pointless? No, it just means that there are huge diminishing returns and compensations that control ultimately the total amount of energy that we can burn. Now, why does our body do this? From an evolutionary standpoint, it helps ensure energy balance and survival, right? It prevents starvation, you know, during periods of high exertion, right? Imagine this for a second. Imagine you are a hunter-gatherer, you are our ancestors, and you're moving a ton. If our bodies just kept ramping up energy expenditure the more and more we moved, it would be harder and harder to eat enough calories for us to survive, right? We were moving more, but the amount of food we were finding was the same. So in an attempt to maintain energy balance, your body will downregulate other functions and prioritize things like, you know, essential functions of the brain and heart when food is scarce or effort is high. This is an evolutionary mechanism, right? Where moving more and more and more and more and more, if it meant burning more and more and more and more calories, we would not have survived periods where food is scarce and effort is high. Now, key finding number three is that the adjusted total energy expenditure, right? So after adjusting for age, sex, and, you know, body size, weight, it only accounts for 10% of the variation in obesity across the global HDI gradient. So just basically like how many calories people burn from activity only explains about 10% of the differences in rates of obesity, you know, from population to population, right? If you imagine, close your eyes, imagine a pie chart. And this pie chart, the title is Reasons That Populations Are Obese. And we break that pie chart into all the different reasons and contributing factors that go into why a population has a rate of obesity. If you cut out 1/10 of that pie, just like a little sliver, that is energy expenditure from movement. It is a very small, it explains a very small percentage of why a, or let's just say, I want to preface, based on this data, it explains only a very small percentage of, let's say, why we are overweight, right? And if you were to accept all of this as 100% truth and not have any questions, you'd say something like, hey, we're not overweight because we don't burn enough calories, right? And you might follow up by saying spending lots of energy getting a population to move more isn't the best use of our effort, right? From a public health standpoint, it seems like moving more doesn't necessarily move the needle because of energy compensation. Again, we'll recap, we'll do some caveats and some takeaways in a second. Key takeaway number four is that estimated caloric intake, especially from ultra-processed foods, correlates much more strongly with body fat and BMI, much more strongly than how many calories people burn. In the 25 populations with dietary data, a higher ultra-processed food share or a higher percentage of the diet coming from ultra-processed foods predicted greater adiposity. So, you know, if you imagine that pie chart and you have that tiny 10% sliver and it says energy expenditure, the other, you know, there are other factors, but just as a heuristic, just as a way of understanding this, the rest of that pie comes down to we eat too many calories and too many calories from ultra-processed foods, right? You know, the study said, this is a quote from the study, in contrast, caloric intake, especially from ultra-processed foods, explained approximately 10 times more of the differences in obesity across development levels. So if you compare, let's say obesity is a eat more or an eat less, move more problem, right? I mean, energy balance, that people get cringed out when people say eat less, move more, but that is ultimately how you create a deficit and how you lose weight and how you maintain weight loss. But if you look at those two, eat less, move more, which of those, you know, is a more important thing to focus on? It would seem that it is the eat less part, because the move more part tends to be constrained to some degree within what's called the energy constraint model, meaning that as we move more, we don't necessarily burn more calories because we have a large degree of what's called energy compensation. Now, I'll tell you now, I'll give you a little teaser. The next study that I want to go over looked at populations or a population, and they plotted how many steps they were getting, so from 2,000 up to 12,000, and certain health outcomes. So as people went from 2,000 to 4,000 to 6,000 to 8,000 to 10 to 12, you know, how much, you know, risk reduction did they see of dying by certain causes? And that is an interesting thing, because if you listen to what I'm saying here, what it sounds like is getting more steps doesn't really matter. It sounds like moving more doesn't really matter. And that again, the more you zoom out and you look at this from a population level and let's say public health initiatives on how to make an entire population of people healthier, or let's say, sorry, I want to amend what I just said. if you want to make an entire population, or if you want to improve obesity rates, specifically obesity rates within a population, focusing on eating less calories and eating less ultra-processed foods is way more fruitful than getting people to move a whole lot more. Now, I would say both of them are still relevant. I think we can move more and we can do the eating less and eating less ultra-processed foods. But again, when we're talking about public health initiatives on a population level, man, focusing on eating less calories and eating less calories from ultra-processed foods is very likely where we should be putting the bulk of our efforts. Now, let's do a quick recap here. We'll do some recap, some caveats, some takeaways, and then I will be very proud if we got this done in under 30 minutes. So we definitely will. So as nations get more developed, even though they very likely move less, they burn the same amount of calories when matched for age, sex, and weight due to the energy compensation effect. The amount of calories we burn daily has very little part to play in a nation's obesity rate. Roughly 10% is explained by activity energy expenditure. Calories eaten and percentage of calories from ultra-processed foods explains 10 times more of a population's obesity rate than the amount that that population moves, the amount of calories burned through activity. When we're talking about a population level public health focus, eat less calories from ultra-processed foods is probably the most important thing. Not the only important thing, but the most important thing. And on the public health side of things, this morning, it's Monday the 28th today as I'm recording this. This morning, I released a podcast with Dr. Adrian Chavez on basically a public health state of affairs. We tried to do a really honest account of what's going on and our opinions on maybe what we could do instead. If you can give that a listen with a very open mind, I know that people can get very I just don't even like saying politically triggered, but this is just not a partisan discussion. This is just, hey, this is what's been going on. And maybe here are some of the pros and cons of those initiatives. It does kind of make me chuckle that after posting that podcast, I'm doing this podcast of like, hey, the thing we should really be focused on is eating less calories from ultra processed foods. And if you listen to that podcast, you will learn very quickly that that is not in fact what we are focused on. Now, a couple of things before I get out of here. Again, this does not mean that on an individual level, movement is not important, that it doesn't help you improve your health, that it makes no difference from a weight loss and weight management perspective. I don't think that that's a fair take home, that it makes no difference. Again, I also say it does not mean that being in better cardio shape is not beneficial, right? That we have plenty of research that people who have a better VO2 max, that people who are in better cardiovascular shape, that people who exercise more see improved health outcomes, right? It just means that on a population level, specifically in the context of rates of obesity, we just eat too many freaking calories from ultra-processed foods. And that is again, as per this data, the largest player in why we, you know, see an increasing rate of obesity with increasing development of certain populations. So in our next podcast, we're going to talk about, again, that study that looked at, as people move more, what sorts of health outcomes do we see? What sorts of risk reductions do we see as individuals move more? And I think it's very funny because on the one hand, we're talking about a study here where it doesn't seem that moving more is a big player in obesity. And then at the same time, we have other studies that show, okay, but when you move more, we see, you know, all kinds of benefits. And so I'm looking forward to going through that study. I think it's equally interesting on the other side of the spectrum. So if you have any questions, shoot me something, DM on Instagram. You know where to find me. See you guys in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.